The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you. I'm
trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
They don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Poor Peter, he doesn't get out much, does he? Dr. Ray the Great, poor kid. How in the heck can he think that? The way I can explain is he just doesn't get out, make much comparisons. By the way, I saw a thing that they showed the guy who supposedly invented sliced bread. Yeah, it's true. They showed his picture and everything. And you know it's on the internet, so you can believe it. Because I was reading something that was said on the internet just recently. It said, don't believe everything you read on the internet, and that came from Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, you got to be careful. 877-573-7825. That's the number on the internet, by the way. If you look, go to AveMariaRadio.net or even EWTN. You get 877-57-EQUAL on this program. Now, there's different numbers for different programs. I'm a psychologist. It's what I do for a living. It's what I've done for a living for, oh, I don't want to think about it. Let me just put it to you this way. I was a senior in college when Freud was a freshman. That's how long it's been. And if you pay attention, you can learn stuff. So hopefully whatever I've learned, I can share with you, or you can prompt it to make me think about it, because your calls do make me do that. I have to be thinking about this stuff. Coming at it from different angles, giving a few thoughts, a few ideas, no professional psychology going on here, no different kinds of therapies, no diagnosis, certainly not intruding if you're seeing a therapist or a mental health professional, and I am not a medical doctor, and I'm not a priest, despite the fact that people call me Father Ray at least a couple times a month. They essentially get me through ordination without me having to do anything. 877-57-EQUAL. You will get Eric Dumont, my call screamer. He is there. And if the calls overwhelm Eric, and that means usually two calls overwhelm Eric because he has to wake up, and he's kind of groggy when he wakes up. Andrew Krucek, my producer man, who makes sure all the breaks happen at the same time, and then he gets into my ears if I overrun a break too long, and he'll say, a break, break, break. And I'll say, who is this? Who is this? Call the show, please. You'll get one of those two. Most of the time, Eric, if he sounds sleepy, don't worry about it. He wakes up during calls. And then you come to me. And then you'll say, thank me. You thank me for taking your call. I didn't take your call. They did. But I get credit for it. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Now, I was going to do a humorous monologue today. But this was sent to me, well, basically by nobody. But this is an interesting thing. Now, anybody who's listened to this program for more than, I'd say maybe 40 or 50 seconds, knows that I am absolutely frightened to death by the impact that digital media, smartphone access unlimited, has upon your children. And the research is building momentum that this is bad stuff. All right, yeah, there's an upside to it. But it is causing untold social, emotional damage, stripping away innocence earlier and earlier, and shaping them to think the way the culture wants them to think. The social media world is not exactly a religious one, unless that's the only places they go. Well, that's one upside to social media world. You can get an awful lot of wonderful things regarding the faith. Well, this one came out from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. I'm not familiar with them. Really don't know their reputation, but that's who they are. The title is Digital Addiction. Now, again, the word addiction can be stretched. It used to be physical, but in this case, they're making the point that you can get so obsessed with this stuff that it actually has physiological changes. Digital addiction is affecting adolescent brain development. As if there isn't enough stuff affecting their brain development already. Mental health experts warn. All right. Here it is. This is as of January 31st. New research. I'd have to know what that research is, but anyway, I'm going to take them at their word. New research shows that social media could be reprogramming children's brains. And psychologists warn parents that they need to pay closer attention. Well, I would hope that psychologists warn parents, but I got to tell you, when people come into my office, and one of these issues is the amount of time on social media and the freedom through the smartphone, and if they've gone to a previous therapist, it's not uncommon for that therapist to say, no, you can't limit that. You can't limit that. That's how they socialize. No, they're going to be resentful. I've seen that so much. So maybe even us psychologists are starting to look into the reality of all this. Quote, this is from a guy named, a woman. No, it's a woman here. I see how she spells it. Dr. Michelle Nealon, president of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Quote, once a habit, like constantly checking social media, is formed, it is difficult for adolescents to self-regulate. And then I do not like this next line. She says, so parents may need to step in. Oh, wait, we're going to give you some permission? I would have said, so parents need to step in. Okay. The new research focuses on overuse of screen time by adolescents in a 3-year neurological study by the University of North Carolina. The results are published in JAMA. That's a high-profile magazine, Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA. Hopefully, this kind of stuff will get to our pediatricians and our family practitioners, and they will say, okay, I'm going to start warning these people here. Shows significant changes in the brains of 12 and 13-year-olds who reportedly habitually check Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. So this just isn't a kind of an easygoing adolescent phase that you're sort of into and you're going to outgrow, because I get calls from all kinds of spouses on this program who say, could you please help me with my spouse who's constantly got his or her face into a phone? An earlier neurobiological study reported in the peer-reviewed journal PLOS-1, I don't know what that is, it's just capital PLOS-1, showed another troubling effect. Compulsive adolescent tweeters had widespread and significant decreases of functional connectivity in their brain's corticostriatal circuits. Okay, let me interpret that. In other words, the connection, the trillions of connections between the neurons had less. They were less. They didn't develop. They didn't develop them probably because they weren't doing other things that were more likely to make them develop, like reading and activities and conversation and problem solving through games. No, this is a very passive activity. The corticostriatal circuits, these are the ones up front there where you have the centers for judgment and impulse control and thinking. They call them executive function circuits. According to these studies, social media may alter neurodevelopment, significantly changing the ways in which the adolescent brain responds to its environment. Okay, let's put it back into shirt sleeve again. affects the brain. And it affects the brain and its ability to navigate the world. Social, emotional, relationships. The result, this is according to Dr. Nealon again, is an ever-increasing need for social rewards digitally and a reduction of ability to resist urges to check for feedback on social media platforms. That's right. Sticker system on steroids. I got to get a lot of likes. I got to get a lot of followers. I got to show them the sandwich that I ate and that I made and 12 people liked it. Hey, where are you going to get that kind of social feedback, huh? Everybody can be a star now on social media, even me. She goes on. This never-ending loop could interfere with school, athletics, friendships, and other real-world social interactions that are important for normal psychosocial development. That's exactly right. There's only so much time today. Now, here's her recommendations. Again, I think this reflects the shrink types are really just reluctant to take strong stances or to advise parents to take strong stances. She says, limit screen time to under, are you ready? Not half hour, not an hour, to under 3 hours a day. What? 3 hours? Set parental controls on social media sites and monitor the content your child is viewing. Yeah, well, you can't monitor it. You better get the best screening systems you can find. Then she says, facilitate play dates. In other words, we got to set up the friendships, okay? Let's go over there instead of doing the stuff that used to come naturally. You know what I notice? I don't see many kids out in neighborhoods anymore like I used to. Okay, so that's the stuff. Well, I'm glad to see that more and more professionals are coming around and saying, you know what? This ain't good. They aren't putting it that way. That's me saying it ain't good, but I think it does kind of summarize it. All right, a lot of calls up there. 877-57-EQUAL. See what I can do to talk with the folks.
We don't have a lot of time on this earth. We weren't meant to spend it this way.
The doctor is in.
Who could argue with that?
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The virtue of purity and holy chastity is certainly a very important thing, but I think we can misunderstand this beatitude. As human beings in our fallen state, we tend to love things and use people, but we're meant to use things and love people. We can manipulate in relationships, and we can try to control other people, and we can focus on other people as objects. But to be pure in heart is to be in love, and ultimately to be pure in heart and to be happy is to be in love with God Himself as well. This beatitude calls us to have a focus on being open to choosing God, choosing life, to choose love. If God is not the ultimate end of our desires and our hopes and dreams, we will be the saddest of people. Let's say yes to God and choose His way, be focused on His love and pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
And click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
I may not be very smart, may not be very good looking, may not be very athletic, may not be financially that well off, but I forgot where I was going with that. It's Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks for joining me here. The doctor is in. Okie dokie. I'm not sure. The rule is you have to be on the line at the end of the program to be first up. There's a lot of calls up there, and I don't want anybody to drop off. But Elizabeth said she called yesterday at the end. Okay, she was on the end of the show. That's what Eric says. So she's throwing down the right bar, the jack of spades, and saying, my trick, answer it. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 7-year-old grandson who is with us most of the time because we take him to school and bring him back. My husband's 81, I'm 77. My son's a single dad, and he works overtime with his job, so that's why we have him a lot. So he's between different residents, and so he has to deal with that. He's a high achiever, straight-A student, wants to do everything perfect. So he's a little on the, I don't want to say nervous side, but he can be a high-tense person. Anyway, the problem is my husband's hard of hearing. Like I said, he's 81. He's not doing anything about it. And I got some earbuds. He said, you take care of your problems. So I got little earbuds. And is it going too far to get headphones for the grandson? I don't know what you call them, but that you put over your ear to muffle some of the, tone down the loudness of the TV, because it's in a close proximity with where we sit. I'm concerned about his hearing. You know, he tells me the kids are too loud at school. Now he's telling me at mass that the music's too loud. He doesn't want to go to mass because the music's too loud. Now, is it okay, or is that going to start something and it'll lead to other things that we don't want to happen? Or does he have to adjust a lot?
Well, I can almost hear some folks listening saying, Dr. Ray, this is one sign of potentially an autistic disorder continuum problem. And hypersensitivity to hearing can be, but it is in the context of a whole lot of other stuff, generally. So for you saying, no, my little 7-year-old grandson's pretty well adjusted. He's pretty happy, pretty content kid, pretty socially normal, but he's just complaining about loudness. And some people don't like loudness. I mean, I have to turn down the radio just to make a left turn, you know? So given that, I assume your husband is not willing to wear headphones for himself, is he?
No, he said, I grew up of 9 children in the Depression. We learned to deal with everything. We all turned out fine.
All right. Okay, so forget it. He's not going to wear something that can help him listen to the TV himself. Also, I'm not worried about the volume as much as I am the content. The average television show now, I'm going to assume your husband doesn't watch Andy Griffith and the Beverly Hillbillies. I'm going to assume
he watches things like History Channel and Price is Right.
Well, if you think the TV that he watches is pretty benign, then...
I think so, but it's just, I'm losing his hearing. That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, you're worried about your grandson losing his hearing?
Yeah, and I think it kind of makes him a little nervous, but... But
well, then,
what about, my husband, one of 9 kids grew up, we all experienced a lot of things. And they had to do the loud TV with the grandfather. They dealt with that. So maybe I should just not be worried about it.
Well, I think the situation is with your grandson. One, it's probably unlikely. He's not at a rock concert. He's just at a loud TV. He can go in another room, which would radically deaden the sound. But if you tell him, okay, well, if this stuff bothers you, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you some little earplugs. So when Grandpa's watching TV really loud, we can just put him in. And then when he gets off the TV, we take him out. I don't have any problems with that.
Is that better than the earphones or the ear, the whole thing that fits on the ear?
Yeah, because it's less intrusive. It's less intrusive. You know what I mean? Okay. Kind of like just little things in there. What I personally would probably do is get him some earbuds and then tap it into my podcasts so that he would just get brilliant as he's moving about the house. I think that'd be a nice...
Well, his teacher already said he was brilliant.
Oh, so he already listens then? Okay, I got that. That makes sense.
Thank
you for the compliment. Elizabeth, I think you're overthinking it.
Okay,
just ask him. Hey, buddy, if you don't like the noise, we can do something about it if you want. There you go. You ain't going to change Grandpa. He's 81.
I just went and had my hearing checked, and the audiologist said both her husband and her son are wearing hearing aids, and that's what got me overthinking, I guess, because of this sort of
hearing.
He was at a rock concert, and now it's a hearing doll.
Hearing issue. Well, rock concerts are not a good place for hearing, that's for sure. But hearing problems over 80 is reasonably common. Reasonably common. Okay, thanks, Elizabeth. Talk to you. Mina, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Mina or Mina from Texas is, I'm going to say she's on line one, but she doesn't care if she's on line one. She doesn't even know what line she's on. She just called in, and Eric put her on line one. Hi, Mina or Mina.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Ray. I'm so glad that you are answering you are going to answer my questions.
Well, don't be glad. Don't be glad, because it could be a stinky answer. If it's a bad answer, you wouldn't probably be glad.
Well, in this moment, you know, my sister-in-law is just desperate. It's just desperate because, I mean, her situation. She was a widow last year. My brother died from COVID, and she has two sons. One is 40-something, and the other in his 30s. And now that the father is not here, they are demanding a lot from the mother.
And they're pushing her around. They're pushing her around because dad's not there to push back.
Exactly, but she doesn't know what to do. She's desperate because they won't listen. They won't listen to anyone.
Does she want them there?
And both of them are in the house.
But, I mean, does she want them to live there?
Well, she said, if I don't allow them to live there, then they are going to be, you know, in the middle of the street.
Well, that's what a lot of parents say, which is, if I ask my irresponsible freeloading children to find their own way in life, what will happen? Will they crash and burn? Will they live in their car? It'll be all my fault. I think, yes. Mina, to help your sister-in-law is to talk with her about how much uncertainty can she live with. In other words, if she says, I'm not helping this 33 and 40-year-old by letting them live here. I am not helping them.
Right.
Therefore, when I set a condition that they have to find their own way within 1 month, I can't know. I mean, they're big boys, okay? These are not 17-year-olds. These are big boys. And if she's saying, well, you know, if they get out there on their own, what's going to happen to them? See, I think she's just got an awful lot of fears about their well-being. And as long as she has that, she's not going to move. And you're probably not going to convince her.
But the other day she tried, you know, to talk to one of them, and the answer was ridiculous. He said, okay, do you want me to be a beggar in Los Angeles?
Well, you see what they're doing here, Mina? We could go on forever on how they're going to manipulate her.
Yes.
She's not going to get them to understand. She isn't going to reason with them, and they will say, gee, you're right, Mom. We hadn't thought about it that way. No, what'll happen is she'll try to reason with them, and they'll just keep pushing back.
Oh, it's terrible. It's a terrible situation.
Well, I think here's what you do. You ask her a simple question. Are you helping them or hurting them by letting them live here like this and mistreat you and freeload off of you? And if she says, well, I think I'm hurting them, but if I have them leave, then I don't know what will happen, and I couldn't live with myself if something bad happened, then you tell her, well, then you're just going to have to put up with them. Wow, a lot of calls up there. 877-57 equal is the number. That doesn't mean anything, it's just the number. You want to use it, you can.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Do you know what your diocese, what your church, what your parish is doing to help families in need? Women who feel they're in a desperate situation and for whatever reason, God forbid, may consider abortion. This is not difficult. The information is out there. We have to become more aware, and we have to be willing to not only know about what's available, but to do something about the issues. It's not just up to, quote unquote, the church. We're all part of the church, and we're all called to put our faith into action, or else we will be guilty of having a dead faith, as St. James reminds us. So first things, be aware, and then be willing to do something.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
What is catechesis, and why do we care? The job of catechesis is to reveal all the joy as well as the demands of the way of Christ, says the Catholic Catechism. The way of Christ is summed up in the catechesis of the Beatitudes. Jesus gave us the 8 Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount. The Catholic Catechism tells us this teaching is the only path that leads to the eternal beatitude, happiness, for which the human heart longs. The catechesis of sin and forgiveness challenges us. Unless man acknowledges that he is a sinner, states the Catechism, he cannot know the truth about himself, which is a condition for acting justly, and without the offer of forgiveness, man could not bear the truth. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
We used to have a compliment line where if you had a compliment for something I said or a call, we put you on the compliment line. Well, what happened was the people who provide our phone service said you can't have a line like that that is never used. And apparently, according to Andrew, my producer man, he said, you know, that line goes months without being used. We had to take it down. However, we put Dennis on a different line. It's not a compliment line, but he does want a compliment. Now, I'm gonna tell him to control himself here, because his main message is that he is praying for this young lady. Hi, Dennis.
Dr. Ray, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I love your show. And I just wanted to comment on your last phone call yesterday from the young lady, I believe, Kara from North Texas, who had just lost her husband. And I don't think I've ever been so moved by a call into your program as I was by that one yesterday. The poor lady was just hurting so bad. And her world, you know, was collapsing. But I could see that she had such great faith. And she'll make it through. It'll take some time. But I was just really, really moved by the whole call. And I've included her in my daily prayers now. And I just hope that she can stay strong and that, you know, she can just keep her faith in God. And I love the way you handled the call. So thank you very much.
Dennis, I hope she's listening. You know that? I do hope that she is listening, because I got to believe a lot of people thought like you, which is I want to pray for that young lady. She's only 34 years old, and for those of you who don't listen to this program every day, and you know who you are, by the way, you can tell by the psychological gaps you have in your personality. She, sadly, her husband went into the bathroom to brush his teeth. And I forget what his last words were. Do you remember, Dennis? She said something, and he just was kind of a very maritally informal response. It was beautiful. And she went in, and he was collapsed, and that was it.
Something about the hot water. Use hot water.
Yeah, something like that. It's a very, very benign kind of a spousal interaction that we all do. Kind of lighthearted. And she said for 14 years they'd just been totally together. And he was a very faithful guy. Remember, she grew up outside the Catholic Church, and she said, "No way I'm ever going to become Catholic." And through his influence, and I imagine his living, he brought her around to being Catholic, and she sounded very faithful young woman, given what she was describing. It's only been a month, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to it. I couldn't get out of the vehicle because I was moved to tears by it. I just to hear her voice, and 37 years old, and to have this happen to her, and I just wanted to call and express that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing too, Dennis, and if you quote me on this, I will deny it. I was tearing up too, and I had to blow my nose after the call because things were running pretty good. And the last time I teared up like that was when the Browns called a draw play on 3rd and 12 in the playoffs. I couldn't believe it. So, thank you, my friend. And I just hope that dear, sweet young lady's listening.
I do, too. All the best to her.
Thanks,
okay,
Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Gotcha. Elizabeth. My daughter's name is Elizabrat. And she came to me one day and she said, Daddy, don't call me Elizabrat. And I said, you're right, baby. That is wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. From now on, Elizabeast. And then she decided to go with Elizabrat. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Hey, we've got a lot of Elizabeths today.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I wrote up everything. I'm trying to edit it right now, but I'll edit it for you on the fly, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
It starts with an alcoholic grandfather. My mother and uncle grew up in that alcoholic home. They lived with mind control. Apparently, my grandmother was hard to live with. My mother's always been mind controlling. My three brothers and I have learned that. Currently, my uncle, whom I don't know very well, is controlling me to get to his niece and his granddaughter.
Now, when you say controlling, Elizabeth, how's he doing that?
Oh, with words. With you know, believe what I believe. Think what I think.
Well, you realize nobody can control you with words. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I know that. I've lived with it. I've learned how to live with it. Me and my mom are good.
Okay.
Distance is one way, you know, I've lived in a foreign country. I've lived across the country. But my mom and I get along fine. So it's you just have to be aware of where they're coming from and kind of sidestep away from it. But this, my uncle is so adamant. He is so determined to get to his daughter through me and his granddaughter through me. And I don't talk to the granddaughter. I don't know her. But my cousin and I would like to be friends, but we can't be closer because I am caught in the middle. And
you're saying you can't be friends with her because as soon as he gets any inclination that you've had contact with her, he's going to push on you.
You got it. Exactly.
Well, he can push on you all he wants, but you can simply say, I don't want to get caught in the middle of this at all. That's all you say. You can tell her, you can say, I want to get to know you a little bit, and whatever is going on between you and your dad is none of my business, so that's the one place I'm not going to go. That's all.
Yeah, my cousin and I are good like that. We totally understand each other. We totally understand each other.
Are you worried about what your uncle might do?
No, not do, but believe and say and manipulate. He's given me a chunk of money for disabled horseback riding lessons. I mean, it's a good chunk of money. It's going to last the year half a year.
Yeah, you just threw that one in there.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. That's kind of like saying, oh, one other thing. He gave me a whole bunch of money, and I'm afraid he'll take the money back if I don't do what he says.
Oh, I'll give it back. I want to give it back.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes that
simple. I want to give it back. This is what I'm afraid of. How do I politely give him back that chunk of money?
Oh, well, you don't have to worry about being polite. You can just simply say, hey, thank you so much for the money. I don't really need it anymore. Here you go. And if he says, well, no, keep it. I say, you say, okay, well, thank you. But remember, okay, when he says keep it, he doesn't have any leverage over you anymore. Then if okay, you don't do what he wants with his daughter, then he says, give me my money back. You say, well, okay, I tried to give it back to you before. You know what you're worried about, Elizabeth?
If he wants it back, he can have it.
You know what you're worried about? You're worried about him being all upset.
Yes.
Why?
Because
you know he's going to do what he wants and think what he wants.
Yeah.
And you're doing nothing wrong if you're just having a relationship with his daughter. You're not allowed to have a relationship with his daughter because he doesn't have one. You just don't want him to be upset. I don't know how you can navigate life doing things without having people get upset. That's going to happen.
Okay.
All righty, my dear. See ya.
All right, I'm going to text my cousin right now.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Award-winning EWTN TV and radio host Michael O'Neill has written a new book based on his popular series, They Might Be Saints. This latest EWTN publishing release introduces you to some of this country's greatest blesseds and venerables, from an explorer priest to the U.S. Bishop of all media, and a former slave turned successful businessman, this book is filled with the unique stories and achievements of exceptionally inspired men and women. Discover how some of the holiest Americans in history can transform your faith life. They Might Be Saints, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316. That's EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
One of the things that's been happening a lot is sponsors for baptism and confirmation oftentimes are given to family members or close friends who have little inclination toward religion, but it's kind of a token move, you know, you're my brother, so therefore I'm going to have you be sponsor for my kid, even though you haven't stepped inside a church for the last 22 years. Given that, Mike from Colorado, his granddaughter has a godfather who is right now at this point, or maybe he even was back at the baptism, an atheist. Hi, Mike.
Doctor, how you doing?
Was this guy an atheist back at the baptism?
A grandparent question, like you were, I think, an expert in. And I called in about 4 years ago, and you spanked me pretty good for my wife and I interfering with our daughter and her family down in Texas. But we're going to do it again.
You didn't learn, did you?
I didn't. But I do listen to you and take your advice. Here's the deal. Our oldest granddaughter is going to a Catholic school, and she's going to be making her first communion. Our daughter, they're all Catholic. She has a happy marriage. But she has a best friend who's an atheist. And the last baptism that occurred, the atheist was the godfather. So what my wife and I are thinking again is to not go to the First Communion and say, make the statement, well, every time there's a sacrament, this atheist is central to the matter. What do you think, Doc?
Well, he's not central to the matter on our First Communion. He's
well,
there.
He's a stand-in, God. He's a stand-in, but we're in protest, and maybe that's wrong.
What do you mean he's a stand-in for her First Communion?
The Godfather is not a stand-in, but he's always at all the sacraments, and we're trying to think about making a statement to our daughter, like, look, he's an atheist. He's not the best thing for you and your kids.
Two things, Mike. One, obviously that didn't matter to her back when she chose him to sponsor.
Yep.
I don't know if the priest knew that or if he knew it, what he was going to do. So apparently at that time, he went through the motions of saying, sure, I'd be glad to be a sponsor, even though I don't buy any of this stuff. However, the fact that he is coming to these things means he could be moved. He could, in fact, say, all right, I'm part of this little girl's life, even though I don't believe any of this stuff. But at the same time, an awful lot of atheists have come to believe by various exposures. I would see no reason for you and your wife not to go. Why not? It's not going to change your daughter.
Okay,
it's not going to change your daughter. She's not going to go, oh, wait a minute, because mom and dad don't go. They taught me a lesson. I better tell him not to show up. She's not going to do that, is she?
No.
Of course not.
So my wife's shaking her head. She's saying, I told you so, Mike.
Hey, I am a sensitive guy. I know how to think like the ladies. That's why they're so easily attracted to my mind.
Well, I know you're good looking, even though I've never seen you, Doc.
How do you know that, then?
You told me.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you could trust me on that one.
Yes, sir. Thank
well,
Mike, you very much, Doc.
You did say one thing that made me a little nervous.
Okay.
You said that I spanked you when you called 4 years ago. Now, we psychologist types, we're not supposed to spank. You know that, don't you?
Oh, you got me good, brother.
Well, I really, Mike, I think you can do nothing but lose if you say we're going
to make
a statement and not go.
Okay, Doc. We'll
now,
follow your direction.
I want to just give you one more piece of guidance. When the next time is that you feel so moved to call me, before you do that, you turn to your wife and you say, what will he say? And then when she tells you, then you don't have to call.
Thanks, Doc. That's another spanking.
See that? She loves me.
She does. Well, many blessings to you.
Mike, where in Colorado are you?
We're in Centennial, Colorado, and we go to St. Thomas More Church, the second largest parish in the state. It's awesome. We have a great pastor. We have great parishioners. We love it.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I got something coming in Colorado, so keep an eye on the speaking engagements on the website, because I do have something, I think, coming up in Colorado in the later spring. All right, my friend?
Sounds good. We'll be there, and we'll buy one of your books.
One? See, this is your problem, Mike. This is your problem. You buy one book at a time. You got all kinds of slices and openings in your psychological makeup because you're buying them one at a time. Your wife will buy all of them. I know that.
Okay, Doc. Thank you very
much. Sir. Talk to you.
Have a good
Bye.
Day.
Bye. Bye. I better take a break after that and try to get to the rest of you good folks up there.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck for More to Life. Only 15% of Catholic kids stay Catholic. What caused them to stay when 85% of their peers leave the church? Join Greg and I as we answer this question in our new free webinar, Against the Odds, the Key to Raising Faithful Catholic Kids. It's happening on Wednesday, February 8th at 7:30 Eastern. Sign up today at CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Again, it's free. That's CatholicHOM.com/webinar.
It is so enjoyable to be with you. Joseph from Boston, Mass. is looking for a Catholic counselor. Hi, Joseph. Joseph. Yo. I think he left his phone. He's gone. Okay. Got that. Let's see where we're at here. Jennifer from New Jersey. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you? Dr. Ray, I just want to say that I met you a long time ago at a book signing at the Jersey Shore. We had a brief conversation about my kids, and I just love all your parental insights.
Well, I remember your kids, and I think I told you about how to keep them from setting fires. I think that was the question?
It's funny that, yeah. But it never gets old hearing about and be reminded about like the digital world. And I just had this conversation with my friend yesterday who's got younger children. And I told her, because she's debating about the whole phone situation, I said, don't do it. Don't do it. I said, do you know who Dr. Ray is? And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So as soon as we got done walking, I sent her links to your books. And I said, please read this before you give that kid a phone at 12 years old. So I think she's really considered not, you know, kind of breaking the norm. And I think I passed on something good, you know. I just want to let you know that. But the other thing is.
Wait a minute. Is this, Jennifer, that, is this two compliments in the same call?
Oh, it is. It is.
Oh, we used to have a dual compliment line. That was never used. We never, ever had that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I find that you've helped me so much that I've really passed on your wisdom and the things that you say, and just to be reminded sometimes of the things that we know in our minds, but we don't act on it.
So I have to keep nagging you people.
The other thing I wanted to say is that yesterday, just along with the other gentleman who called in about Karen, I believe her name is, the widow, I was just so moved by her, and I literally was brought to tears as well. So as soon as she ended, I just sat and said some prayers to her. I want her, if she's listening, to know that, you know, there are others that are praying and wrapping prayers around her, that God is truly with her. So I just want her to, hopefully she hears it.
Oh, that's nice, Jen. So it's not really a compliment for me then. It was just prayers for
her. No. It's a compliment to God.
Okay.
For being
good.
There for her. Yeah. But thank you so much for, you know, always, you know, reminding us to be present with our children and not scroll all day long on the phone.
Your friend probably is getting pulled along by
the
culture.
She is.
And by the people around her who are basically saying this is the way kids do it now. and your kids right. will be an outcast or an isolated.
Right. And I told her, I said, make them be an outcast. I said, you know, she's in a Catholic school. So I said, she's got some good, you know, support with the parents and stuff. But her daughter's been persistent. I said, no, I said, don't do it. You know, and she was telling me that, you know, on Saturdays, she kind of lets her guard down and, you know, she finds them in their room with the door shut, you know, scrolling on the internet. I said, do you know what that she's looking at? Well, I think it's YouTube, you know, it's just YouTube. I'm like, you really need to get a handle on stuff. I said, have you ever scrolled something by accident? And she goes, yeah. I said, so what makes you think your kids aren't scrolling something by accident? And she's like, huh, I never thought about it like that.
Isn't that interesting?
She's like, thank you for reminding me.
Jen, yeah. Isn't that interesting how the most primitive thinking about this stuff doesn't occur
right.
to parents? Gee, I never
no.
thought that they could come across something accidentally.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't let my kids, you know, they're in front of me. My daughter now, she's 16. She sometimes sequesters herself in the room, but we lock down the phone. You know, and I always say, you know, what are you looking at? I'm just, you know, and she's usually just chatting with her friends. Most of the time I can hear her on the phone. But, you know, there is a point where, you know, 9:30 comes along. Everything's locked down. She hates us for doing it. And my son, 8:30, it's locked down. The phone, everything. I mean, he games with his friends, you know, and they're in front of us. So he's downstairs. I can hear him. My husband's usually downstairs. We're around them constantly. So they're not like privately doing something. And, you know, I said to her, I can't imagine you have a 10-year-old and she'll hate me for saying, but she doesn't listen. A 10-year-old and an 11-year-old. I'm like, you don't know what they're doing. You know, she goes, well, I'm trying to give them freedom. I'm like, there is no freedom.
Trying to give them freedom. I'm letting them roam the world and all of its vileness
right.
unsupervised. Yeah. This is the same woman who wouldn't let him go play in the park without her there.
Probably not. No, you're right. Yeah.
It boggles my mind how few parents actually recognize what can happen and what does likely happen when they introduce this stuff into these tiny little minds at that point. Ask your friend this. Jen, ask her this.
Sure.
Why are you moved to give your 11-year-old this smartphone with access to the world?
Just I did ask what, her that. I said that so her response was the pressure. I said, well, that's pressure of society and other people, not you. You shouldn't give in to pressure. You know,
I had a mom say to me once, do you know what she said to me once about this early giving of the phone? She said, well, if it were up to me, and I stopped her right there. I said, who's it up to?
Amazing.
Raising upright kids in an upside down world is the book that I have that really.
That's the one I recommended to her. That's so funny you said that. That's the exact one I recommended to her. And, you know, it's funny that the best days of my life are when one kid's phone broke and the other one, we took the phone away. We actually had to sit down and play games, you know, and I said to her,
ooh, gross.
You know, and they were playing Cutthroat Parcheesi and all kinds of games that, you know, and it was great, you know. And so I said, do you do that with your kids? And she's like, well, no. I'm like, well, maybe you should.
I think you have someone you can mentor, Jennifer. I think your friend is going to come to you with more questions.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I'm glad that I had a resource to give her as well, a little bit more laid out.
Thank you for the call, and
thank you so much
for your courage.
When are you coming again to New Jersey, by the way?
Oh, I got one coming up on March 5th and 6th.
Great.
You go to my website on the speakers, and Father there, I talked to him the other night. He set it up, and there's a contact number for the parish. Hold on a second. Let me look. Let's see what I got here. I don't go to my phone. I'm an old man. I've got a basically have here. It is... Chatham, New Jersey, Corpus Christi.
Fantastic. It's right down the street from me.
Bring your friend.
What church?
Corpus Christi.
Oh, fantastic. It's 15 minutes from my house.
There you go, girl. Thanks.
Wait, I hope to see you there.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Jennifer. And for those of you who did not get on, and we do have a caller from Harrisburg, I wanted to talk to her because she's got some grandkids. It's really inappropriate, talking about all kinds of stuff inappropriately. And you call back first up when you can, and you will be, I guarantee it, after my opening monologue, the first call we take. Appreciate the company here. Appreciate Andrew Krucek and Eric Dumont. Call Screamers. Between them, they have four children, four young children. Audra Rose is the oldest. She's nine, right, Andrew? Nine? She's 30? No, that means 30 seconds. I think that's what you meant there. Okay, good to have you all with me. I appreciate the company. Please walk with God. And if you're not walking with God yet, look into it just to see, because I think if you believe the research, faithfully religious people are much more content.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.